for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carlianna Billings.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Before There Are Hashtags podcast. I am your host, Mr. Eric Dallinger. That's what my kids call me at dance.
Ooh,
Mr. Eric.
Oh, Mr. Eric. Please introduce me, Mr. Eric.
I will. And my lovely co-host, Miss Carly Billings.
What? That's me, baby.
And, well, we have an exciting thing for the whole month of December leading up to Christmas.
Goodness.
It is Guestmas, which means every week up until the end of December, your final New Year's podcast, we will have a wonderful guest. And today's guest is wonderful, the talented, the pop culture enthusiast, Luke Optal.
Hi. You forgot to mention before there were hashtags superfan.
Oh, yes.
Hands down.
Oh, baby, I am a fan of the podcast. Get me way back. Get me in that way back machine.
Ooh,
here we
yes.
go.
Can't wait.
It's my favorite thing at dance. I'll like catch Luke talking to other people and he's like, yeah, baby.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it's in the vocabulary. It's in the zeitgeist. You're an influencer, at least to this one person.
Love it.
But yes, Mr. Luke is here, which is what my dance kids call me. So
or Miss Jackson if you're nasty.
Miss Jackson if you're nasty. And
We know you are. Stole your joke.
Listen,
Luke said that before the pod. It's his joke.
I got
joke.
Nothing but jokes. That's all I'm here for is just witty banter and
witty banter.
Miss Jackson, enthusiasm.
Luke, why do you love pop culture so much?
Why do I love pop culture?
Yeah.
It's just all around us. To be fair, I was never really like one of those pop culture kids. I was more of like a old school, like I guess it's technically pop culture, but like old movie musicals, and like that's still sort of my jam. So like actually like listening to this podcast has been like a kind of like an update of my, like being like, oh yeah, that's what happened during my childhood. Like when you just only knew like what everyone else talked about, but I was never like the fan magazine person. So it's kind of cool to like be like, oh, I was around for that, but I was like kind of not really aware because I was too busy like watching Shirley Temple movies.
Awesome.
And being obsessed with Gene
Kelly.
I
love that. I am, me too.
While also like listening to the Pussycat Dolls, but like not knowing any of their names, just being like, this is a bop. I love this song.
That's
you
so
and
cool.
Everybody else who didn't know their names.
I mean, I
was you and everyone but Eric. But Eric
I was
Dallinger.
The anomaly that could name every single one and what their talents were and why they were part of the group.
And their nicknames and what they're known for.
Like their doll
yeah.
Funny story, someone once said that Buttons was actually a Jessica Simpson song. So like for a year, I just was like, oh, I love this Jessica Simpson song. But it was actually the Pussycat Dolls.
That's really good. That's
like, that's
one.
How much I was not actually in the zeitgeist.
Jessica's a good singer, but I could not imagine her doing, like, the runs at the end that, like, Melody does.
Yeah, no. But, like, that's in my mind, I was like, yeah, person singing. Love it. It's a bop. I don't know.
I'm obsessed. But, so what, why do you love old movies? What about that?
I don't know. Like, since I was, like, three, I just was obsessed with tap dancing. And so, actually, my parents, the reason I got into dance, my parents went to Riverdance and brought back the VHS. And I, as a three-year-old, memorized the entire thing and danced it. And luckily, my mother was smart enough to tell me that was tap dancing so that I would go into tap dancing. And then she just showed me every time she'd find a VHS, because it's an old am, of like a Fred Astaire movie or a Gene Kelly movie, she would buy for me. And every single time I was obsessed until I could be in tap. And then I was even more obsessed because I was like, doing the moves in quotation marks, doing my like shuffles, but like thinking I was like doing a full Gene Kelly routine. I don't know. It's just one of those things that like I've always loved. Like, I don't know. Like, no one in my family was into it. I was just like that kid who was just like, this is my life. This is what I want to be a part of.
I also just
and then I was like really sad when I learned that like they were actually old movies and not like, you know, current things. Like, I could go like be in one.
Aww.
Really quick.
Oh, that's so cute.
I also just love, like, the mix-up of your mom thinking that, like, Irish step dancing and river dancing was tap dancing. Or did she just tell you that, too?
I'm like, did she know the mix-up? Where she like, I can put him in tap classes, so let's call it that. And then what? He doesn't know. He's three.
Fair.
And
she's like, I can find a tap
class at any studio. I can't find him a Celtic dance class in the middle of the prairies of Saskatoon. Like, there's probably one studio.
Oh, yeah, because you're a prairie boy. So it's all, like...
I sure am.
Like, Ukrainian and stuff out there. You don't have
like, I should have been a Ukrainian dancer, but surprise, I was like, tap, tap, tap. I was so stubborn as a child, I would not do any other kind of dance until I could be in tap.
Oh,
so, had to wait till I was
so
six.
That's so good. See, yeah. I really wanted to do tap as a kid, too, and yeah, they wouldn't let you until you were a certain age. And then by that point, I already was so sick of ballet, I was like, I don't want to do dance right now.
See? So I left but again, as, like, a teacher now, I'm like, yeah, don't put kids in tap until at least five or six, because, like... You just can't do it. It's
no,
too much...
how can they? Yeah.
No. They don't have balance. They don't have rhythm.
Their little bodies don't know how to do anything.
Toe heel.
No.
Toe heel.
For real.
Yeah, I'm doing it under my
But
nose.
Like, when I was six, you couldn't tell me I wasn't like Fred Astaire doing my toe heels and my shuffle ball changes.
Hell yeah.
And my little top hat. Like, ooh.
So, oh, Fred Astaire so over Gene Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, if anyone's ever seen me dance, it's a lot more balletic and fluid than like... gritty. So I was always more of a Fred Astaire, smooth and central, but like, love me a Gene Kelly.
Yeah. Well, somebody else you love is today's topic. But before we get to that, we've got to go way back to the way back. Did I say that right? It's been so long.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. Gotta go back to the way back, baby. We gotta hop in our time machine so we can get on talking about today's topic. And
it's so much more spacious than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome. Welcome.
Look at this time machine.
It's like there's almost three rooms, you know, three boxes. It's a Zoom call.
Yeah, it's like the bus from the Spice Girls movie. Like, we each have our own section, but it's like
still
cohesive.
Oh my god. Well, welcome to it. We love it.
Thank you.
And yeah, we are going to hop in our time machine here. And in order to go back to the way back, we'll take 5 seconds off the top-ish of the show, like we always do, to talk about...
Five minutes.
What did I say? 5 seconds? 5 minutes? I mean, we can take 5 seconds.
Here's 5 seconds.
Add,
Bring
know,
it was free.
A few more on top of that. And moving on. Yeah, we'll take a hot 5 minutes and... talk about today's pop culture, and then we'll be back in the way back.
All right.
Okay.
I am adding 5 minutes. 5 minutes to the clock.
Ooh.
Here we go.
Ooh, party.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, Britney was freed.
Hallelujah. Yes. Britney
did
is
it.
Free.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Finally.
Merry Christmas to all, you know? Britney's free.
Merry Christmas to all. Thank you, Brittany.
Today we're going to give justice to Janet, so...
Listen, that New Year, yeah.
All is right in the world. Taylor right? is making her... is re-recording Red.
Oh,
Lindsay
Red
is in a Christmas
out.
Movie.
Yes!
Lindsay is acting again.
Oh, God.
Paris is married.
Oh. Paris is married.
2021 is ending right.
It's literally like Eric's dream ending to a year. It's like we're back
to
2001.
Hillary is trending on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, yeah.
This month couldn't be more Eric-driven if, like,
Yeah, it's like all of Eric's celebrity dreams came true.
It's like his fan fiction just, like, flopped off the page and became true.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Like, made a wish on a star and it came to life.
Like, the only thing could be better if, like, the Pussycat Dolls released a Christmas single and, like, a Christmas dance bop like that.
Eric's...
And
well, they,
we don't know.
They did that last year. They had a... They released the Santa Baby music video.
Yeah.
Oh.
From a song that was 10 years old.
What do I know? See?
There we go.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, so, which of these many topics should we mention? Well, what do we all think of the 10-minute All Too Well music video, or short film, I should say?
Beautiful. Love.
Gorgeous.
One of a kind. Amazing.
I mean,
never been done before.
The best line when she says, I'll get older, but your lovers stay my age. Like,
yeah.
Mic drop moment
mic
from
drop
Taylor.
Moment.
I mean, she is one of the best lyricists of our generation.
Yeah.
Life is
yeah.
too
like,
short not to admit that Taylor Swift is one of the best songwriters.
Oh, I'm a Taylor Swift stan. I love her.
Yeah, absolute stan. There's no other way to be at this point.
Luke, you'd be proud. I was talking to my kids. Oh, Adele released an album.
Adele did release an album.
Made me real sad. Cry. Full sad feelings. Eric had to come over the next day and like hang out just because I was like, I'm in my feelings. Adele released an album and it's November and I just had feelings.
It was so funny too though, because I was talking to my kids at dance. I was like, Taylor Swift is amazing. She's the best lyricist of our generation. And one of the kids goes, I like Adele better. And I was like, oh, like we're comparing Taylor to Adele. This all is right in the world.
All is right in the world.
Oh, Britney clapped back at Christina.
Also, that's a throwback in
that's
the
a throwback. That I feel like Christina. Okay. What she said, if Christina had just said...
Or ex-Tina, if you will.
If Christina had literally just said, oh, I'm so happy for her, and walked away at just that, it would have been fine. But because the publicist went, we're not doing this today. And she was like, I can't. That's what made it, like, wrong. If she had just said, I'm so happy for Britney, and she deserves her freedom, and walked... That's all she needed to say. That's all she needed to say, and there would be no drama. But because she made... The publicist made it a big deal... Britney got mad. Ugh. It's so frustrating, but also.
But now she can, because she's in control.
Oh,
Which is a reference. She wants to be the one in control.
She is. Yes. What else? There's just so much that I'm like getting lost in my own thoughts, because it's been like
my
a
brain's,
month.
Yeah, fried.
I mean, Drag Race UK crowned a queen.
Drag Race UK.
That's right.
The queen. Carly's behind, so.
Okay.
So
I'm behind, though I did. I know the top four, so.
The top four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one of them wins.
What? What do you mean? That's how that works?
No spoilers, but it's the one that, like, we all knew was going to win from the
start. One that everyone thinks is. Yeah, okay, that makes
even
sense.
Though
Which
I don't.
Which is traditional for UK. It's always. You're like.
Yeah.
You can kind of call it.
Even though, like, arguably. But once again, another queen probably should have won by, like, popular demand or by how they did in the competition.
But it's Rochelle. She can do what she wants.
She can do what she wants. Hey, sis. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Check me off of this wish list.
And that's it. That's all we can say.
That's all there is.
That's all we can say.
Yeah, we can't afford anymore.
Drag Race.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Taylor was on SNL, and she sung that song,
Yeah.
Three Sad Virgins. Supposedly, too. She wrote the hook to that like 10 years ago about the Jonas Brothers.
That's so funny.
The shade.
And then the Jonas Brothers now have the Jonas Brothers roast on Netflix.
That's true.
That's it.
Wow.
Dang.
Drama.
Sorry, that was a very chaotic 5 minutes of us just like going all over the map because it's been
crisscrossing the list.
Up, friends, this is what the Luke is here. It's gonna be chaotic.
Chaotic energy coming at you.
We love it.
Today's topic: we are talking about the one, the only, the original pop queen. Well, one of two. Madonna's the other one. We've got Miss Janet Jackson today.
Yes.
Janet Demita Joe Jackson.
Is that is that how you pronounce it? I was like reading it. I was like, Demita, Demetria.
Oh, yeah. Well, you never listened to the album? Her Demita Joe album? She says it many times.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that album and how it really didn't get its justice because it came right after a certain event.
Listen. But yes, Miss Janet Jackson. Oh, my queen.
She is really a queen. All right, well.
Love her so much.
We should start at the very beginning.
It's a very good place to start.
Before we do, I just want to set the scene real good. Luke has his Janet Jackson shirt on for all our listeners at home.
But yes, this is from when I went to her State of the World tour.
So this is not a fake fan.
One of the best nights of my life.
And also, yeah, Luke wore this just for us. It's such a treat. Because, like, we all know podcasting is an audio medium, folks. So
it's just for you, too. I mean,
thank you.
Also for me. Just like, anytime I can wear Janet Jackson, I'm like, here for it.
Might as well.
If it makes you feel good, it will come through the podcast into the ears of our listeners.
Yeah. I know that, like, if I were listening to this and I wasn't seeing you, I'd be like, I feel like he's wearing a Janet Jackson shirt. And just so, if you're having that feeling too, yes, the answer is yes.
Confirmed. Confirmed.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, confirmed.
At the concert, it is an official Janet Jackson t-shirt.
Beautiful.
We love it.
So yes, back to the beginning of Miss Jackson. Yes.
Well, Miss Janet Jackson was born May 16th, 1966. And she was born into a very, very prolific family. Her brother is, of course, the one and only Michael Jackson, who, you know, a little controversial, but, you know, at the time was a huge star, and he was part of a band called the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a gang. What a like a lovely group. So many bops.
Yeah.
So many cute childhood bops.
She actually would get her kind of start performing as the opening act to the Jackson 5, but she would do sort of this like variety sketch kind of Mae West impressions with her brother Tito, I believe.
It was a choice. It's a very strong choice. You're just like, hey, little boy, why don't you come over here? And it's just like her and her brother doing weird sexual banter. I was like, okay, 60s, 70s. This is choices that were made. But adorable.
Yeah, adorable. But
don't think it would be done today, but adorable.
Adorable. Terribly choice. Weird, but adorable. Yeah.
There's literally, like, interviews of her being, like, with her brothers, and her brothers being, like, in this family, we work. Like, it was just, like, expected of them.
Yeah. Their father was their manager, and he, like, every new sibling was, like, see if they could get famous and make the family some money, like, basically.
At times, they weren't allowed to call their dad. They had to call him sir or by his first name.
Yeah. Mm. They had a pretty troublesome relationship.
Yeah.
And, like, there's rumors of abuse and things, yeah. Even though they were like, that was just part of the culture. But yeah, she had a bit of an interesting childhood.
Yeah, I watched that interview and she's like, yeah, when we say we were beat, though, that's just part of like the Black community. Like, it doesn't mean we were beat. And I was like, oh, like that's not true. Like, people of the Black community aren't, it shouldn't be a thing that you're beat. That's not correct. Like,
yeah.
But that's not a then, part of Black culture as a whole.
But she was never part of the Jackson Five.
Yes.
No, she wasn't.
She was just kind of the younger sister, and then she made her way into television.
Yes. And she had a long string of acting jobs. Yeah, it's weird, too, to think, like, Janet Jackson was, like, to us today, we're like, Janet Jackson, the singer, the artist.
Yeah,
like,
music icon.
The music icon. But she really started off as an actress.
Actor first?
Yeah.
Actor first?
She starred in Good Times and Different Strokes as well as
Penny?
Yes. And then she would eventually make her way into the very famous TV show Fame.
Yes.
I'm gonna live forever.
I'm gonna fly like a plane.
Fame. Man, it's close enough. We can't afford the real one. Yeah.
Close enough.
It's the Bargain Basement brand, yeah.
Yeah, she was on Fame. Totally.
But it's interesting, too, because she expressed, like, some indifference towards, like, the series later, and it turned out, too, that it was probably also because she was having, like, emotional stress because she was actually secretly married at the time.
Yeah. Fully married.
Yeah. That's, like...
It's wild.
Totally
it's
wild. Weird wild.
I mean... When you make a child do Mae West impressions, are we surprised that, like, you know, she gets married at, like, 16, 17? Like,
right.
I don't know. I mean, not to like, shame anyone, but, like, I don't know. Seems like a trajectory.
Yeah, it seems like something set up for something. Like, it doesn't just go away. Yeah.
But, like, it was, like, a secret marriage, which I don't, yeah, which is interesting. At, like, 16?
Yeah. No, it was super young. But she also enjoyed her time on Fame, like, she maybe didn't love the show, but she said that she had, like, a really great relationship with the cast and that they often, like, would play pranks on each other backstage.
Oh, that's cute.
And
yeah.
She, like, speaks fondly of them. So it's, you know, it's a good memory. But hilarious that this, like, big show and, like, movie, too, that, like, everybody remembers as, like, Fame, like, starring, like, Debbie Allen and all this, like, amazingness. Like, she's, like... It was okay. It wasn't a great show.
But I mean, compared to the rest of your career, it's like a footnote. Like, you're like,
that's fair.
Oh, yeah. Barely anything.
Like, she's like, I was a
child.
She's
like, oh yeah, I forgot to do that thing. Yeah. Yeah. She also, the person she was married to, we should also mention, was R&B singer James DeBarge. So like rhythm of the night, yeah, like sorry. That's who she was secretly married to, by the way.
Oh my gosh, I just think of Crystal Method.
Yeah,
Crystal
Method. All the way. Yeah.
To the beat of the rhythm of the night.
They really got their money's worth for that soundbite that season.
That's so funny. Yeah. I love that.
But yeah, that's who she was. That's who she was married to at that time.
Mm-hmm. For like a hot second.
Literally.
I think like 2 years.
Yeah.
Not even.
Tiny blip.
Yeah, it was something really short. And then, sorry, moving forward, her father, of course, was her manager. And, you know, it was expected that, like, even though that she was an actress at this point, that she would eventually go into the music industry. And her father, Joseph Jackson, arranged a contract for her with A&M Records. And she would release her debut album, self-titled Janet Jackson, in 1982.
Yes.
Which I gotta say, like, I actually, like, I am a big fan and I love all of her albums, but to be fair, before this week, I hadn't listened to those first two, because they just don't really feel like part of the canon, and I listened to them, and they're, like, cute. They're just, like, cute little pop albums. There's nothing, like, there's nothing bad, but there's nothing great. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah, this is makes sense why everyone doesn't really count these two as, like, part of, like, the Janet canon.
Yeah, well, they're sort of, well, they're very Joe Jackson, so they're family-friendly. They were really trying to, like, recreate the Jackson 5 formula. Really trying to, like, recreate, like, family-friendly material.
Totally.
That would sell to the masses, have crossover appeal into white radio as well as black radio. But it just didn't really seem to work for some reason. It wasn't translating. Her first album only peaked at number 63 on the Billboard Hot 200. And her second album would only peak... Where is it? Sorry, I'm looking at my notes. Yeah, her second album actually only reached 147 on the Billboard 200. Yeah. So not...
But she had no say in these albums. Yeah. Like, they were fully just, here's the song that we wrote, and you can sing it. Like, there, she had no say in it. It was just like, here's your album.
And I think that's...
But you can kind of tell.
That's why it doesn't feel like her, and that's probably why they didn't do well, because, like... Contrary to popular belief, you can't just throw nothing out there and then expect something back. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, like, her heart wasn't in it.
Yeah.
I was listening to the podcast on NPR about Janet, and they, like, expressed, this is later about Control, the Control album, but they were referring back to the previous albums. They were talking about how, like, what... Janet brings is that she has attitude and she has sass, and they were trying in the first two albums really to water that down to make her, like, very palatable to mainstream American audiences. But her, like, main selling point is that she is, like, she has attitude, she has sass, that, like, she has more to say than just, like, family friendly pop.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, not to jump ahead too much or anything, but, like, those aspects of her are, like, huge into why people love her. Like, that is who she is. So to, like, take the thing that makes someone special,
yeah, she's totally herself,
and, like, make it go away was made sense why nobody really cared, you know?
Yeah. So I guess, but... this is, like, the perfect time to move forward, because after Luke is so excited because we're gonna talk about Control.
Yes.
After her second album, Janet fires her manager, her own father, Joseph Jackson. Oops.
Smart.
A la very Beyonce Knowles firing her father as well. I guess Beyonce is more emulating Janet than Janet Beyonce.
Yes.
Exactly.
And because of this, so two producers and songwriters, team Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, they basically were supposed to work with an unknown artist. It's not really specified who it was, but that falls through, and so the A&M Records, they are like, well, you have all this free time, so here is our list of artists that are available right now. Pick one. Who do you want to work with? And Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis go, her. We want Janet. And so they meet up with Janet, and they have about a 6-week window where they just write for Janet, and they work with her personally, and they talk about her experiences, and they write music together for the Control album. And they have this great story where the first time they met Janet, it was snowing outside, and before they open the door and they're like, come in, Janet. And she goes, wait, I gotta do one thing. And she jumps into the snow and makes snow angels.
Like, she's 18. She's just like a sweet baby angel, snow angel.
She just wants to have fun. Literal angel, literal snow angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, when they were doing that album, like, they would just drive around and hang out and go to the movies. Like, they weren't writing songs, like, in her opinion. Like, they were just hanging out, talking to her about her life. And then she was like, when are we going to start writing the songs? They're like, oh, baby, we've already been writing the songs. To quote
baby,
Carly.
This is what this is.
And they, like, showed her the lyrics to Control. And she's like, this is all the stuff we've been talking about. And they're like, yeah, this is your album. Like, we're writing it for you. Because their thing was always, we don't want to write an album, just a generic pop album. We want this to be for the artist. Because if it makes it big, this artist is going to be singing it over and over and over again. So let's make it actually the things that they like and actually things that they're saying. Which I think really comes through.
I loved in that interview Control. When they said that. They were like, if it's a hit album, they'll have to sing it their entire life, so they better like it and relate to it. So smart.
Right?
Yeah, I think their quote was, if a singer likes McDonald's, we don't want them to have to be singing about Burger King for the rest of their career.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's so true, though. It's so funny.
Like, Eric Dellinger singing about Pepsi when he's drinking Coke all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, which
would
be a good
album.
Don't
believe in Pepsi.
You can't get behind singing that.
Watch Pepsi. So,
but yeah, Control. Oh, what an album. Like, you just listening to that album, it's just like hit after hit.
The album spawned five top five singles. That's a mouthful. Including What Have You Done For Me Lately, Nasty, When I Think of You, Control, and Let's Wait a While. Little slow jam.
Yeah, that whole album, it's so good. And it's back, like, it's that, like, that start when, like, the albums were a full, like, journey. Like, it wasn't just like, here's a bunch of songs. It's like the whole album plays just so smoothly, and just like, you can just listen from top to bottom, and it just, like, it's just so good. It's just such a good album.
It was a different time in music to write albums. As you said, like, albums were an experience. Because, now albums are created for streaming. So they want these, like, hits so that people are listening to them over and over and over again. Whereas, so it doesn't matter if there's a cohesive unit to the song, to the album. But I'm not speaking clearly. But even now, like, record labels are saying, like, is there a TikTok hit on your album? Where, like, they weren't looking for this at the time. They were looking for, like, a cohesive body of work that made sense together.
Well, because you were playing the whole album.
Yeah.
Like, you put on the record, and you start play, and you play through the whole thing. That album, just, it's so personal, and it's lit. Like, it's just her singing her life. Like, she wants to be the one in control. And she took control of her career. She left her father. She did that. She took control of her career, and, like, boom. Skyrocketed.
Totally. And icon. Also, like, she's, I know we talked about this, but she's so young too when she does this.
19.
And, like, right? Like, I can't imagine myself at 19, like, doing any of this. So she's, incredible.
And her music videos at the time too were, like, iconic with, like, great choreography, and they were being played on MTV, and MTV becomes, like, a big part of Janet's career because at the time too, if you could get like 40 spins on MTV, like, you were a star, and, like, your music was being played to teenagers everywhere. And it's so funny too, because the whole time for her first two albums, they're trying to create this crossover hit, this that works for both white and black radio and that everybody can listen to, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then finally they're like, well, we're just gonna make an album for us. We're gonna make an album that we like, and hopefully other people like it. And what does it do? It crosses over, and it has hits on both white and black radio, which is amazing. And that's what, like, truly makes her a star, is that she is relatable to the entire public.
It's kind of always that thing of, like, the more specific you are, the more general appeal you have, like, the more people can relate to it.
Billboard stated Jackson's accessible sound and spectacularly choreographed videos were irresistible to MTV and helped the channel evolve from rock programming to a broad beat-driven musical mix. Well, you know what was actually a really fun fact about this time in Janet Jackson's career is her choreographer was none other than Paula Abdul.
Hell yes!
Cold-hearted snake herself.
Cold-hearted snake.
Yeah, and her choreographing for Janet Jackson actually, like, got her record contract, because they're like, who's this, like, amazing choreographer, and she can also sing? Great, let's also sign her, because we need more video content for MTV.
Yeah.
Yes, so good.
Yeah, Janet's helped quite a few careers. But yes, Miss Paula Abdul, that choreography, so good.
Well, should we move on to Rhythm Nation 1814?
Yes, I am a part of the Rhythm Nation.
You are a part of the Rhythm Nation.
Rhythm.
Oh, I should say that Control peaked at number one on the Billboard 200, so.
Sure did.
Which, to segue, her next album, Rhythm Nation 1814, also peaked at number one on the Billboard 200.
Baby! Can't go much higher than number one.
No.
It's lonely at the top.
But not because she has that whole Rhythm Nation behind her.
That's true.
Oh, that music video is so good. That choreo, those outfits, like, chef's kiss. It's so good. It's still iconic today. Like, you can watch it and you're like, this is a great music video. And a great album. Like,
oh, yeah. And speaking of the dance, like, and her lyrics, like, Janet in the Rhythm Nation album, like, she wanted to, like, talk about some, like, socially conscious themes and stuff, and she talks about, like, her choreography and her dance, and that, here's her quote. I know an album or a song can't change the world. I just want my music and my dance to catch the audience's attention and hold it long enough for them to listen to the lyrics. So it's, like, she's, like, using her choreography and, like, the dynamic music video of Rhythm Nation so that, like, people will then take a deeper dive into her material and, like, hear what she has to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really different album. Like, it's very much a message album with still, like, great dance hits, but, like, State of the World and The Knowledge, like, there's just so many talks about racism and poverty and, like, injustice and, like, all these different topics that I just think the first album was sort of like, here I am, I'm a woman now, I'm in control. And this one's like, I'm a woman who also has something to say about what's going on in the world and that it's not, the world isn't perfect and I have something to say about it. And it's just such a smart way to put it out into the world because it's like catchy beats that really get you thinking. Like, so smart.
Yeah. Some of those songs that did really well with her singles were Miss You Much, Rhythm Nation, of course. All Right, Come Back to Me, Black Cat, and Love Will Never Do. In parentheses, Without You.
Love will never do without you.
And the album would, of course, go 6 times platinum and would sell over 12 million copies worldwide.
Yeah, it became the highest selling album of 1990, period, full stop. Like,
hi. She's here.
Incredible. Let's
celebrate it. Love it.
Yeah.
Icon. And that's like her fourth album, but really her second one that counts.
Her second after breakthrough album, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. It's also around this time where she received a star on the friggin' Hollywood Walk of Fame. Can we also talk about that? Like, what? She's amazing.
And yeah, makes her an icon.
Only like what, 22?
Yeah, and she's had
has
like
already had two like a full acting levels. Career, a full yeah. music career.
Yeah, she's yeah. just yeah. Oh, it's incredible. She's incredible.
And even like talking about not to lump her in again with her brother, but Ebony magazine, like their quote is, "No individual or group has impacted the world of entertainment as much as Michael and Janet." So just like. She's really, at this point, like, she is, like, at the top of her game. She is really killing it.
But, like, anyone remember the weird time when people thought that Janet Jackson was just Michael Jackson? Trying to, like, have two careers?
Oh, yeah.
There was, like, that
was a thing that was
actually...
a conspiracy?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they, like, went on an award show and, like, made a joke being, like, they both presented an award being, like, see, we're two different people.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, people thought that Michael was just like, I'm so famous, let's see how like famous I can be by being something. And it's like, no, it's a full different person.
Yeah, literally.
With a very different voice.
Women can't be famous.
Right? I mean, we'll get into that. Like,
women can't do things.
Women,
we all know this.
Women don't have talent. They can't actually sing.
No, only men dressed as women can. We all know this. So.
That's so
like,
funny.
Yeah, Janet stands on her own, but I feel like just because she's Michael's little sister, she gets a lot of like, oh, she's just Michael's sister. It's like, no, she's been selling the album. She's been doing the work. She's an icon on her own merit. I mean, it doesn't hurt that she was a Jackson, obviously. Like, she wouldn't have gotten that start, but like, she's an icon in her own right. Like, don't get twisted.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I also just want to say, like, these two albums, because, like, they are part of, like, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, like, they really, they talk about, too, being at, I think it's, like, the Songwriters Hall of Fame or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they were getting inducted into it at the same time as Max Martin, who famously did a lot of Britney Spears' work and a lot of Backstreet Boys. He's a Swedish producer. But he, like, came up to them and, like, said, like, I'm just trying to create control. Like, I'm just trying to recreate what you guys did because you guys, like, set the standards. Like, that really yeah. is to show, like, Janet and her team, like, they were the ones that, like, we wouldn't have a Britney without a Janet. And we wouldn't, nope. we wouldn't have,
no.
like, spoiler alert, we wouldn't have a Justin without a Janet. And
so, Beyonce, like, all these,
Beyonce.
All these dancers who sing and do all the things and have these albums that are, like, cohesive pieces that, yeah, it's Janet.
Also, these, like, highly influential people culture-wise. Like, Janet, her fashion is such a huge part of, you know, people's appreciation for her, too. And, like, alongside her artistry. And, like, yeah, incredible.
For me, incredible. Janet's always, it's always about Janet's dance. Like, Janet is a dancer, and it's so yeah. awesome to watch her move her body. She is, she's just.
She's, and she's still got it.
She's still got it. But is like she
she's
like
still got the moves
in her
yeah,
early
she's like
60s?
55.
Oh, she's yeah.
And I saw her dance yeah. an entire stage concert, and she was grooving on that stage. Loved it.
Oh,
with so many different kinds of dancers, different bodies. Like she is like it's just so yeah. It's so great to see her and always her dancers. Her dancers are always like such good individual artists. Ugh. Anyways, we could talk about my love for Janet on and on, but we got so much more life for only at 1990.
Yeah, well, oh at this point, she has actually met her contract at A&M Records. She's fulfilled it. She's recorded 4 albums. And so she signs a new deal with Virgin Records, which makes her the highest paid female artist in history, I believe.
Yeah, or at least of that time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still holds, but yeah, that was...
Yes, sorry, at the time, yeah.
At the time, like, the highest paid, like, it's Janet Jackson. I think people forget that, like, how much of a actual, of a big influence and a big deal she was. Like, huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Powerhouse, icon, legend, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways.
She puts out her 5th studio album, or 3rd, by our counts.
Yeah.
called, self-titled, Janet... not to be mistaken with Janet Jackson, which is her first album,
no.
In May of 1993. A great month and a great year, because somebody else was born then. Sorry. And it also gets certified 6-folds platinum and sells 14 million copies worldwide. So she is just, you know, she's
yeah, just
smashing her own records. She is
yeah.
killing it.
Yeah.
But of
selling all those stadiums. Ugh.
Janet at this time,
she's
too.
She's just doing the thing.
Janet at this time, too, becomes like a little bit more sensual and a little bit more in tune with her body. And it becomes sort of her sexy era, as one might say.
Yeah, she's really opening up as a woman and like a sexual being. Like the first 2 albums are more about like, I'm in control. I have something to say. And then, but they're not really that sexual, or at least like, inadvertently talking about sex. Like, it's like, I mean, her first album, her like most sexy song is Let's Wait a While. Like, it's like, I just want to get to know you. Like, and then, yeah, now we're getting into like her full, like, this is, I'm a woman. I can enjoy sex, which like was still new and like shocking.
Yeah.
But like a woman actually singing about what she wanted and what turned her on. Like, that's... And she was just like, here it is.
And just to, like, put some, like, intersectionality into it. Like, not just a woman, but a black woman at this time. Like, that was really revolutionary at the time. And really goes to show you we wouldn't have, you know, Cardi B or Megan or Beyonce without Janet.
Yeah.
Like, she really paved the way for all these girls.
Yeah.
But also always making sure that she never crossed that, like, she never went too far. Like, it was always sexual, but she was never, like, it was never, like, dirty. It was, like, always
sensual.
And,
yeah.
like, this is what I want. This is empowering. It was never just, like, sex for the sake of sex, it felt like. It always felt like it had a point. It had a purpose. It had, like, a message with it as well. It wasn't just, like, I want to get dirty, as another artist would later say. which is also a great thing. But it was just like she rode that fine line so that people couldn't like just downplay her as now she's quote unquote slutty. Like it was like, oh, she's now empowered and coming into her sexuality, as opposed to, oh, you know, like with other artists, it's very easy to like, especially, I mean, any artist, anytime with slut shaming. But I felt like it didn't, like she was really good at kind of riding that line until a certain time, which we will get to real soon, where she crossed the line.
In the meantime, around this time, though, her influence on pop music continued to grow. Like, she was already at the top, but, like, her influence just explodes. And the Boston Globe remarked, "If you're talking about the female power elite in pop, you can't get much higher than Janet Jackson, Bonnie Raitt, Madonna, and Yoko Ono. Their collective influence, ... is beyond measure. And who could dispute that Janet Jackson now has more credibility than Brother Michael?" So, even at this point, like, she has surpassed, like, she's surpassed Michael. She's come back around, and like, she is the thing. She is the moment.
She is the moment.
She is the moment. That's all. That's
she also makes her film debut in Poetic Justice, and receives an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Song, which she wrote for the movie.
Love it.
So good.
We love to see it. Back to acting.
Yeah. And then also at this time, she collaborates with her brother Michael on the song Scream. And
yes.
And it was the most expensive music video ever made, costing $7 million.
Which, like, Michael loves an expensive music video. Like, wasn't Thriller, like, the most expensive one for a while? And then he's like, you know what? Let's get Janet in here and make it even more expensive.
Yeah.
He's like, more money. Yes.
But, I mean, it's a great song, great video. Like, you can't watch that video and not know exactly what it is. You're like, oh, that's a Scream video.
Yeah.
They're coming at that screen and they're like in their black leather and just like grungy and angry. And oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, and like amazing dancers. This isn't to exonerate Michael of any claims people have on him, but the two of them together are phenomenal dancers and entertainers.
Yes. Agreed.
She keeps making music. She does lots of things.
Yeah, she wins a GLAAD Media Award. So, friend of the gays.
Yeah, friend of the gays.
She is. Yeah, her Velvet Rope album has a lot of messages about pro-homosexuality. And her like hit song, Together Again, was actually written about her losing a lot of her friends to the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. And about how she can't wait to see them again. And she was a big advocate for AIDS awareness and philanthropy. I'd say, so she is a friend of the gays. Yeah. Which is why we
talking about
her.
Together Again, she donated all the proceeds to that song to the American Foundation of AIDS Research.
Mm-hmm. We love to see it.
We love to see it. Yeah, so that brings us through the late 90s and just into the early 2000s. She's doing things. She it appears in her second film in 2000 in The Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps, alongside Eddie Murphy, which is, that's fun.
She also goes on tour at one point, and her opening act is none other than a certain little boy band called NSYNC.
Oh, I never heard of them, but that sounds fun.
They sound sweet.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Remember, podcasting is a visual medium.
And she was a friend of the gays, so she probably loved Lance Bass. I don't know. That's a bad joke.
insert
Lance Bass joke here.
Okay, sorry, let's go back into it.
No, podcasting is just a series of tangents, so it's all good. It's all good.
It's true. It's what we're here for. People know this info. They're here for the tangents.
People get it.
Yeah, well, so this...
Yeah, she's a busy gal, working, doing all the things, as always.
Climbing those charts, still putting out those number ones.
Yeah.
And then... Bum, bum, bum. I think we've come to that time.
Bum, bum, bum. We can't avoid it. Yeah.
We can't avoid it. So,
I wish we could just erase it, but alas, here we are.
Burned in our brains.
2004, Janet was asked to be the headliner of the Super Bowl. Super Bowl XXXVIII.
37? Is that it?
Yeah.
37? Well, X is 10 and a V is 5. And,
yeah, it'd be 37.
So 38.
Great. We did the math.
38. Math.
Fun.
Yeah. So at that Super Bowl, she was the headliner. Absolutely. Of the halftime show, which is a huge freaking deal.
And she had taken a little bit of coveted time position. Off, so it really, like, proved to her that, like, she was still in the zeitgeist and that she was still a superstar after taking a little bit of time off. And this Super Bowl was, of course, produced actually by MTV for CBS. And it starred... Who did it star? It had a bunch of people in it. So it was...
Nelly and Kid Rock.
P. Diddy.
And... Diddy. Like, what a capsule of time. Like, that lineup of, like, these are the big stars of MTV.
It was supposed to be just them, and what happened was is Les Moonves, who was the head of CBS at the time, they were, like, all concerned there that it was going to be too raunchy and that it wasn't going to be, like, age appropriate for the halftime show. And so they were like, we need to bring one more person on. Who should we bring on? Who is going to sort of make this more G-rated, more family friendly? And so they, of course, brought on Justin Timberlake to the...
Yeah, as a very last minute add-on.
It's, you know...
Yeah, Mr. Ramen Hair himself.
Mr. Ramen Hair himself.
Mr. Uncooked Ramen Noodles for Hair himself.
Yeah, this was sure. The time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just such a bummer. We're not going to talk about it.
I know. I hate it. It's just so they added Justin in.
Yeah.
And it's weird that he came in and was singing his song. Like, I guess they all had to sing their own songs, but they were ending with his song, even though Janet was the headliner. First of all, rude.
Goodbye.
But he flew in from Europe basically the day of. So they got like one rehearsal in beforehand.
Ridiculous for the Super Bowl.
And
we now have heard famously how long Beyonce rehearsed for the Super Bowl. Can you imagine just being like, yes, I am the man. Let me fly in here now the day of and rehearse once.
Yeah, and clean up this act.
Yeah, make it wholesome.
Make it wholesome.
I could never.
And in the original choreography, it was supposed to be when the famous line, I'll have you naked by the end of this song, he was supposed to rip off her skirt. And CBS, they saw the entire rehearsal, and they decided, there's a bunch of things that they decided in all of the performances. So, like, Kid Rock at one point was wearing the American flag, and they were like, cut that, that's disrespectful to the flag.
Which he didn't, that's a thing. Anyway.
Nelly's dancers took off, they had two layers. So they had, like, a black layer, like a black cheerleading uniform, and then they took it off and were in, like, short shorts and crop tops. And they were like, cut that. Mm-hmm. That didn't get cut. So much was, like, being, like, ignored by MTV in producing the halftime show. But this one thing about ripping off the skirt, it wasn't even that they thought it was inappropriate. It was just they were like, it's not working. It doesn't really... fulfill
famously they even said Janet was their least concern out of that whole lineup. They were the least worried about Janet Jackson.
They were like Janet's great,
just the
we
one skirt
Janet.
thing, everything else you're doing great, like we are not really worried about you, you have a great image, people love you, it's gonna be great. That's why we're gonna open and close with you. Like, we know that if all else fails, you're gonna be the one that's gonna make this wonderful.
Book in the show with Janet, and then this is what happened.
The last 7 seconds of the performance?
It is literally the very last minute, the last second, he rips the shirt off. Her nipple was exposed on TV for 0.9 of a second. That's all of this is. The world exploded for 0.9 of a second. It wasn't even a full second.
Like, if they would have cut that camera 1 millisecond earlier, it would have been fine.
Nothing would have. Nipplegate.
Nipplegate.
This is not on the level of Watergate. This is Nipplegate. No. Nipplegate should be not a non-issue. It should have, we're going to get out in front of this and say, it should have been not how it was treated.
Nope.
The way that this went down, if this went down today, it would go down very differently because we are in a very different climate with the media. Because the media, knows a little better. Not a lot better, but would know a little better.
I slightly disagree with you.
I don't think they would blame her that same way.
I think it would be different, but I think opinions would be very split. Like, I think we would have, like,
as always,
leftist media being like, not blaming her, being like, this is overkill, blah blah blah, and then we would have like Fox News going harder than they've ever gone.
But we also have to remember that, like, at that time, again, this was before there were hashtags, so an artist couldn't just go on Instagram and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, that didn't mean, like, they had to put out a press release. So, like, Justin, famously, Janet left right away because she was so embarrassed.
Mortified.
Like, you can see the pictures. Like, she is horrified and she's crying and she leaves. Justin doesn't leave, so he's the first one to get interviewed. So he gets the first say about what happened. But, because there's no Instagram, there's no hashtags, whoever gets the media first gets their spin first.
And that's the story,
And that's the story that they can produce. And if you don't put a statement out for 24 hours, no one hears from you. Like, but every news station can have an opinion on it, and that's what everyone's seeing. Like, not everyone's just scrolling their phones. You're like, you turn on the news, and that's what they're talking about, and that's the only opinion you get. So, this is like the pinnacle of, like, before there were hashtags, like, this is what happened. Like,
how things would be different now because of hashtags versus before there were hashtags, how it played out, because that wasn't,
like, you weren't as in charge of your persona, as, you know what I mean, like, if you were only as good as what you actually told the media, like, you didn't have people, you couldn't just get on with your fans, like, you had to go through channels, and if they didn't want to put out directly what you wanted, they could put out whatever they wanted. And this was so right when, like, the right wing was looking for an excuse to censor, because they were not a fan of what was going on TV, all this HBO and all the sexuality, and MTV was getting racier and racier, and, like, having more sex, more violence, all this stuff. And they were looking for that one thing that was going to go over the line. And sadly, Janet Jackson was the thing that went over that one line at the right time. And,
it's also just like, I think that we all know the reason we didn't want to talk about this today, and we have to, and why it's such a bummer for the three of us to talk about it, is because we know she did nothing wrong except have a nipple.
We all have them.
Like, she's
and
so,
it wasn't even
a...
exposed. She had a, everyone she had a nipple, has it. She had a little nipple cover. So
she had a cover. It wasn't even... She didn't. No, like, there, like, truthfully, this whole thing was nothing, but it was such a huge thing. Just because she's this powerful Black woman who can be, was used by the media and by certain groups of people as a, like, this is what's wrong with America. Whereas it's like, she was a victim.
Yeah.
Ramen-haired Justin Timberlake ripped her shirt off and he fucked it up because he didn't rehearse and he was very unprofessional.
It's just,
Well,
here's the thing, too, right? Like, she did apologize, and then it was still a big deal, and then she sent a video apology, and it was still a big deal, and then they were like, then they were like, well, if you want to go to the Grammys, you have to apologize at the Grammys, and she was like, she put her, like, foot down and was like, no, I've apologized, I've done it, like, I've said it, to the point, too, that Les Moonves requested that he get an in-person apology from both her and Justin. And Justin decided to do it, but she didn't. And that's why, like, she was essentially, like, written off by everybody.
She's
because, like, CBS was like, we're done with you. Like, you messed up and you won't apologize. And she was like, I did apologize. I've apologized numerous times.
And again, at that time, because it was before there were hashtags, you couldn't just release an album and have it sell because you posted on your Instagram or posted to your social media. Like, you had to have people put it out there. You had to have it play on the radio for people to hear it and want to and buy your CD. Like, if it wasn't playing, people didn't really know about it. Like, if it wasn't promoted on regular media, people
and
weren't going to pay attention to it.
MTV was so upset with her, they wouldn't play her stuff anymore. Radios, Radios yeah. wouldn't play her stuff. And they say that there wasn't, like, a nationwide, like, blacklist of her. Or, like, a nationwide, like, ex-nay on listening to her music. But it was just that, like, local stations were all like, we can't do it, we can't do it. But essentially,
it's yeah, actually had so many complaints.
Being excommunicated right. from radio.
I remember distinctly at the time this happening. Or, like, maybe not exactly. No, yeah, exactly at this time. Because it was, what, 2004? 2005? Yeah. I was in, like, grade, like, four or five. Yeah. And I remember specifically there was a bunch of, we were like changing for gym, like a bunch of girls were changing for gym and everyone's talking about it. And I was like, that's a, like, as a kid, I was like, what? Like, that is so weird. That was such a weird thing. And like, kids are obsessed with bodies and who isn't, but like, we were all like, her nipple. And we were like, what?
Like, and I'll admit, like, I, because I wasn't like a huge pop culture person, like, I'll admit I became a Janet Jackson fan like later in life, like in college and onward. Yeah. So for like a lot of years, this was the one thing I knew about Janet Jackson, was that she had a nip slip. Like, and sadly, for like probably quite a while, that was what most people knew her for, was that, as opposed to all those things we already talked about, like hit after hit and philanthropy and helping people yeah. and like breaking boundaries for women and all these things. And it's just like 0.9 seconds of your life, like that all disappears.
Yeah.
For a while. And I mean, not for her actual stance, but like for a lot of the population,
yeah, casual viewing was
like, and
gone.
You're done.
Yeah. Like, it's something that we have, like, we can't do Janet without talking about this even now. So like, of course it's still attached to her, which like,
and just is, like, to know, compare bullshit, like Janet but... to Justin, like Justin didn't lose his McDonald's
yeah.
deal, but Janet lost roles in movies. Janet's
no.
Rhythm Nation Mickey Mouse statue in Disneyland was taken down. Like, the world was done with Janet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Justin won a Grammy at the Grammys that he apologized at. Like,
Grammys.
He won two Grammys that night and was like, I feel bad for what happened. Sorry, friends. But
and
also, like, look at my Grammys.
And
I'm
like,
I'm a big boy winner.
I'll be like,
yeah.
To be fair to, like, Justin, like, it sort of is like he was kind of put into this situation and he kind of made the most of it. And that's, like, annoying. But, like, this is actually society's issue, not just Justin's issue. Like, we failed Janet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we totally yeah. failed Janet. But I feel
also Timberlake could have done way more.
Like, Timberlake could have done so much more. There is so much more he could have done. But instead he just went, I'm sorry. Grammy? Like,
yeah.
That's like literally what he did. Like, hand out Grammy? Like, he just like
well, and
did
it took
just
to, like,
enough to appease everyone. And
skipping
didn't...
ahead, it took till like this yeah. year for him to actually put out a written apology naming Janet
yes.
Jackson. Like, I'm sorry for the things that I did and how I benefited from you. It's like,
I know.
2021.
Like,
I'm sorry. 2004.
Like, right, this is your Black Lives Matter stance.
And
like,
even
you
if you
sir, good night.
Hear Justin,
like,
talk about Janet,
you're not a friend.
The Super Bowl, like, he always talks about how hot she is and how, like, she's so hot, where it's like he wasn't talking about her artistry. Like, he didn't talk about her as like a person,
right.
as an
yeah.
artist.
But like,
oh,
there wouldn't be a Justin without a Janet. Like,
no!
She brought him on tour. She helped them be famous. She
yeah.
sang on one of his songs on his album.
Yeah.
And
she's
so it's
the
just
reason
like,
for the season.
Janet,
like,
and Janet and Brittany are
the Christmas season
responsible for Justin.
The reason for the season. Like,
literally,
like, literally, Justin Timberlake would be nothing. He would just have ramen hair, and that's all he would be. He
yeah.
should be another ramen boy. But
I would say
oh!
it's not justified that he got so famous after.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we, I mean.
That was good.
Let's move past it.
Let's just move past it now?
Yeah.
yeah.
We've discussed it.
We,
it's happened.
Yeah, we've done
we don't
it,
need that to be
it.
The main part of the Janet Jackson podcast, but
it's
it is
not,
something you we have awesome. To talk about.
Totally. So yeah, but at the same time, this is the time where Demita Jo is being released. So
mm-hmm.
it was, yeah, projected to be like this big thing, and then wasn't.
Which I will also agree, not my favorite of her albums, to be honest. Demita Joe's not really my favorite. So I don't think it's fully... I mean, obviously this didn't help the sales. Obviously it would have done a lot better. But also I think compared to her albums beforehand, I don't think it's her best one. It's not one of my favorites, but it's still got some bops. It should have done way better than it did.
She hosted the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, Super Bowl numbers, when you host, like, your streaming goes up. Like, there's, like, that didn't happen to Janet.
Yeah. Like, it was a big thing on the early internet, too, we should just talk about real quick. Because that Super Bowl halftime show was considered to be one of the most controversial televised events in history. And Janet was later listed in Guinness World Records as the most searched in internet history and most searched for news item. Which is so wild.
It's also famously basically the reason why YouTube was created, because the person who created it, I forget his name, couldn't find the video and wanted a place where he could just like search it up and find a video. So he created YouTube because he wanted to see the Janet Jackson video. So like...
Yeah, he's like, somewhere to put the
video.
Even
when she's down, she is breaking boundaries. She is creating things that we still use today.
Yeah. So every YouTuber has Janet Jackson to thank for their career.
Miranda
because,
Sings
like, hello.
Better thank Janet for her career.
Absolutely.
Try, guys. You know who to thank.
Come on.
Oh, my God. So true, though. Yeah, there's nothing she doesn't do an influence. She's the original influencer. Sorry, Paris.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. Sorry, Paris.
She is.
Sorry, so Janet would eventually release three more studio albums. 20YO.
Which bops. Bops on 20YO. If you want like an album you can work out to, sexy, hot, good.
Love
good
that.
Beats. And she also like her 20 years after Control, and she like has a little interlude where she talks about that, which is very fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then she releases Discipline in 2008, which has my favorite Janet Jackson song of all time. Feedback.
That's a good song.
So good. And JoJo Siwa did it on Dancing with the Stars, and it's amazing. Go watch it on YouTube. It's
true.
So good. With Janet Johnson. JoJo, you have Janet to thank for that.
Yeah. Also, real quick, JoJo was robbed. Moving along.
JoJo was robbed. And then finally, in 2015, she releases Unbreakable.
Which I love that album. That was probably the first one that I listened to all the way through and was like, that made me a Janet Jackson fan, which is so weird that like her current album at the time was the thing that made me go back into the catalog and become a huge fan. It's such a great album, and I think it was a really underrated album. But it's also cool, like I listened to it and then you go back and you realize she like references herself so much throughout the album, but then going back and listening to her older stuff, you're like, oh, that's what she's referencing. It's like she's always self-referencing but also making it new and current, and love her.
Janet,
make some more music, release something.
Janet.
Let's go.
Well, can we safely say that we've made it back to the present? Any other fun facts that we want to share before we get into our pop picks?
I mean, there's just so many great songs. Just go listen to them. Like all her albums, it's just those like great 90s, 2000s where there's like those fun little interludes that aren't actually songs. Like she's in a club talking to her friends and then it goes into the song, or like she's just like, it's so great. Although when you just shuffle your Janet Jackson playlist, it gets very weird where all of a sudden there's just like a 5-second interlude of a random other part of the song. So they're not the best for shuffling. You kind of got to make your own hits playlist. But everyone go listen to the whole catalog, because there's
one
nothing,
thing I
nothing
also
but goodness.
Loved about when Beautiful. They were talking in the podcast that about Janet is that they would often use her outtakes in the song. So like her laughing and her sighs that are sort of in the background of the track, so they would layer them in. So they would have her sing it well, and then they would have the outtake underneath of it so that you would hear that, like, cute laugh that Janet has. That laugh
is iconic. That is, you hear
her
that
smile
laugh.
Smile is iconic.
You know
that's
it's Janet.
True.
Smile, too.
She's adorable. Who doesn't love
she's
Janet?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
What's
woman.
Your favorite right. Janet song, Luke?
Oh, that's so hard. The one that like makes me happy always is like a little known song called Enjoy off of her, I believe her 20YO album. It's just like talking about just enjoy your life, like having so much fun. Aww. But then like if you want to talk about like hits, like I think If is probably one of my favorite songs. If I was your girl, all... And, like, that choreography and that music video, it's just, like, it's so good. Ugh.
I love it.
Love it.
Carly, do you have a favorite Janet moment?
Ooh. I think, like you, Eric, Feedback has a really special place in my heart. Because that was when I got back into dance. And we would play it all the time for everything.
Yeah, because isn't Gemma Zampronia, like, a huge Janet fan? So that was Carly's dance teacher. Yeah. So she'd play it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, they would all play it. Yeah, Feedback was definitely one of the ones that was on repeat at our studio.
I also...
So yeah, that has a huge spot. I also love
Move. Move, make me groove. Mm.
Make me move.
Show me how you do. Yeah. All the girls at the party, look at that body, shaking that thing like an unseen. Got a nice package, all right. Because I'm going to have to ride it tonight.
Like, never that I need an excuse to listen to Janet Jackson, but like every time I do this, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to listen to the whole catalog this week. Like, here we go.
Might as well.
Third album.
Might as well. Oh, one thing that we should mention is that when Justin Timberlake hosted the Super Bowl halftime show, gross, Janet's streams went up something like 50%.
Hell yeah.
Woo. Because she's back. Even when he didn't invite her to perform with him, people still talked about it.
Yeah.
And Janet can't be stopped.
And people were like, what's all this Janet about? I forgot how much I loved her. Let's do more of it.
More.
Yeah. Well, we should get into our pop picks of the week.
Ooh. Yes, we will.
All right. Well, we'll start with our special guest. Oh. Our guest, Miss Guest.
Ooh,
Luke, what are you?
Guest, Miss Guest.
Little old me. Well,
what are you listening to? What are you watching?
Since it is Guest Miss, I'm going to come at you with my Queen of Christmas's new Christmas album, Miss Kelly Clarkson. Her new Christmas album. I mean, I know it came out in October, but couldn't listen to it till November. But Kelly, she went through a breakup, and she's like, you know what? I could put this into a regular album, but you know what? Let's put all my pain of my breakup into this Christmas album. We'll give you sad Christmas. We'll give you fun Christmas. Here's so much. It's really, I mean, if you've been through a breakup or going through something, maybe don't listen to it, but like, it is a great album. It's just funny that she made her next Christmas album her breakup album. I wouldn't say it's as good as Wrapped in Red, but like, it's still good. And she's got a song with Ariana Grande. Ooh. So very of the time, and it's a good song. So I would recommend Kelly Clarkson's new Christmas album, which is, I'm blanking on what it's called right now. Kelly, where you at? Kelly Clarkson's new Christmas album, When Christmas Comes Around. I would highly recommend it. That is my pop pick. Love her. And she's my queen of Christmas, so. Sorry, Mariah.
Love it.
Aw, that's so cute.
Carly, what are your pop picks?
Well, my pop pick is a bit of a bummer, but also not. So anyone who's a music theater anybody knows that we just recently, as of the recording of this podcast, like yesterday, lost an absolute icon and legend, Stephen Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim.
The one, R.I.P. the only. And I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to recommend my very favorite musical of all time. And specifically, the production that I want to recommend of this musical. The musical being Company, which is Stephen Sondheim, of course. I would want to recommend the 2006 Broadway revival with Raul Esparza as Bobby. It's my favorite. It's my favorite. So
but
if you haven't listened to it, haven't seen it, yes.
Because there's the new revival of Company on Broadway right now.
That's so true.
It is a very topical
thank
pick.
Thank you.
Because it is technically also opening, I don't know, now?
It's literally like, just opening as well. So yeah. There's the new one. There's the 2006 one. That's my favorite. It's great. It's so beautiful and good. And
here comes Company.
Here comes Company. Like, phone rings, door chimes, in comes Company. Can't avoid it. Yeah, so I'd say Company. It's just, is like a warm hug to me on like a winter day.
Oh, I love that.
Bobby.
It's a little,
Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby, baby. Bobby, movie.
Bobby. Robert, darling. Like, it's so good.
It's so good.
Can't help it.
I love that it's like, it's sort of like a circular format musical too. Like, it's just like vignettes about his life. I think that's so smart. It's, and not that there haven't been musicals like that in the past, but it's like truly like a concept musical and done so well.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Sondheim did, right? Like, Sondheim reinvented continuously what people should expect from musical theater.
And from him,
sure.
Exciting. Like, and it's from
It's never what, it's never like, oh, this is the same as the next one. It's like, oh, this is completely different musical. Just as difficult musically, but a completely different format.
Oh gosh, it's so hard. Like,
style. Yeah, icon.
Yeah, icon. Legend.
Literal icon.
Company. Literal icon.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Eric, what is your pop pick of the week?
Okay, well, mine is going to be so uncultured after that, but go on to Netflix and watch some Selling Sunset, the trashiest but best reality TV show there is. Watch rich people buy big homes and Christine Quinn. You've never seen it? Oh, no, go watch it, Luke.
I'm obsessed.
There's this one girl. This isn't in the newest season because the newest season just came out. But she has an open house where she offers burgers and Botox to everybody that comes.
Yeah, that's like that's how she gets people to want to buy it.
Yeah. You get a free burger and a free Botox injection.
Like, to be rich, you know? It's a whole different planet.
Be rich, right? Literally. Well, this has been such a lovely first edition of Guestmas. Thank you so much for being our first Guestmas guest. Oh my goodness, that's such
Thank you for having me. Truly a dream come true. Truly the best Christmas present I've gotten so far this year.
Luke, where can people find you? Do you want any? Do you want to plug anything?
Just at Luke Opdahl everywhere. My name will be probably somewhere in the podcast.
Oh, yeah, Will.
Word. So if you search for my name, it's a pretty only me kind of name, so I'll come up. You know, if you want to see me just taking selfies or dancing, that's where you'll find me.
Yeah, yay. We love it. Well, we're gonna sign off. I have been Eric, and this has been Carly, and we have Luke on the pod, so thank you so much for listening to Before There Were Hashtags. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Like, it's just me doing the outro music?